Here we are on another holy day, about to take up another offering. But do we have to? Just a few moments ago, we sang a hymn taken from Psalm 51, where we sang the words, "Sacrifice dost thou not want, else would I give it thee, and with offering shalt thou not delighted be." Here we have King David, a man after God's own heart, a man who had the Holy Spirit, saying that God isn't delighted in offerings. Well, it's not quite like that. Turn, if you will, to Psalm 51. And let's read what is written, starting in verse 16. Psalm 51, verse 16. "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." Through the Holy Spirit, King David knew that he had to get the spiritual sacrifice right before the physical sacrifice would be worthy. So the offerings King David was referring to was not the offering commanded in Deuteronomy 16:16. In the worldwide news of July 9, 1979, Mr. Armstrong was dealing with an issue where some of the ministry of the time were teaching that tithing and offerings weren't required. In the article, "Non-tithing is stealing," he wrote, "There were no New Testament prophets who contributed any doctrines or teachings to the church. Malachi wrote after both the kingdom of Israel and the kingdom of Judah had gone into captivity and slavery, and was therefore written for us. Rather than for recording Old Testament teachings, it is the word of God. And this prophet, on which the church was built, says to you who have not been tithing, 'Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me in tithes and offerings.'" Tithing is not a matter of taking pity on poor God and giving him alms and charity in the form of tithes and offerings, if you feel like it. It is a matter of paying to God what you owe and are commanded to pay. Neglect or refusal to pay is stealing from God, cutting yourself off from the lavish blessings he promises. So yes, it is very clear that we still need to give a physical offering. In the April 1982 edition of The Plain Truth, Mr. Armstrong wrote, "The church was assigned a dual commission. One, to carry Christ's gospel of the kingdom of God to the world for a witness, not to convert the world at this time. And two, to feed the flock, instruct the church as the members grow in spiritual knowledge and character. To achieve this, many opportunities and technologies were opened up and made available to God's church, but all of these required significant funds. So God blessed the church with unheard-of growth in numbers, which provided the funds mostly through tithes and offerings. Printing became much more widespread, and with the advent of the computer, things like printing The Plain Truth and other material in multiple languages became dramatically easier and quicker. Along with the steady increase in printing technologies, other methods of mass communication became available, first over the radio and then over the television. Through these technologies, the church worked tirelessly to fulfill both arms of this great commission. The same printing technologies and facilities were used to produce The Plain Truth and the Good News magazines. In the personal of October-November 1984 Good News, Mr. Armstrong explained how The Plain Truth was to preach the Good News as a witness to the world in a non-religious way, and the Good News magazine was for those of God's people who want and are able to go into the deeper spiritual truths, those to whom we can say, open your Bibles, and we will expound and make the truth plain. Then, of course, there was the World Tomorrow broadcasts. And as technologies progressed, even the ability to broadcast live services around the world. Shortly before the death, before his death, in his co-worker letter of January 1986, the scale of the work in the preceding year was revealed. What tremendous accomplishments your tithes and offerings have made, Mr. Armstrong wrote. 74 million Plain Truth magazines distributed by mail or newsstand. 7 million Good News magazines and 2 million youth magazines. 6 million booklets and over 1 million lessons of the correspondence course sent out. He also stated, it is now true that this gospel has been proclaimed within every nation on earth. So what about the work today? Well, the first part of the Great Commission was accomplished through Mr. Armstrong. Today's work largely revolves around feeding the flock, or getting the church, the bride of Christ, ready. So how is this achieved and what is required to support it? After the apostasy, the church was shattered and scattered. But at the same time, a new technology was developing. One that would allow the work to continue, but with dramatically less resources and a far greater reach than could have been imagined just a few years before. This technology, of course, being what is now known as the internet. Currently, there are just over 5 billion people with access to the internet. To put it another way, there are more people connected to the internet today than there were on the planet when Mr. Armstrong was alive. Using these technologies, we can broadcast live services, not just to a couple of locations that have the colossal equipment that was required for a satellite feed during Mr. Armstrong's time. Now it can be received on a mobile phone, another technology that was the thing of science fiction not too long ago. Right now, this service is being listened to live in over 30 different locations around the world, and many more will be able to hear it shortly after the service finishes. It also enables us to provide on-demand access to just over 3,000 messages, with hundreds of these having published transcripts. Then through the Get Back on Track website, we have the vast majority of the material published during the time when God was putting his church back on track through Mr. Armstrong in an indexed, searchable database. Today's work also requires physical funding to cover the costs of things like the servers and various technologies used to create and host the various websites, communications, and broadcasts. But it also requires something else. Spiritual funding, for want of a better way of putting it. You all know we were going there, so turn if you would please to Deuteronomy 16. And let's just read again about the command to give an offering. In Deuteronomy 16 and verses 16 and 17. 3 times in a year shall all thy males appear before the Eternal thy God, in the place which he shall choose. In the Feast of Unleavened Bread, in the Feast of Weeks, today, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Eternal thy God, which he hath given thee. Verse 16 makes it very clear when the offerings are to be taken up. Verse 17 gives us a bit more about how to give. We are to give as we are able. The command is to give. It doesn't specify how much, but then goes on to add, according to the blessings that God has given us. God does not need, want, or expect us to give more than we are able. But there is one way that God has blessed us all that goes far beyond the physical money we can offer. This day of Pentecost pictures the day of the giving of the Holy Spirit, and this gives us access to something far more valuable than all the wealth in the entire world. Turn, if you would, please, to Romans 8, a scripture we just read the other day, but it is one that we need to hold fast to, especially as things continue to get harder as we approach the end of this age. In Romans 8, we read verses 14 to 17. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of sonship, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we are blessed with the ability to come before our Father's throne at any time in prayer. Even when the church was at its peak, Mr. Armstrong never lost sight of the fact that the prayers of the brethren were as important to the work as the funds that came in to fund it. During this phase of the work, we have been given access to a remarkable set of technologies. Sadly, just like the opportunities that were given to the early Philadelphian era of the church, today's technologies have been used for both good and evil. And now more than ever, our prayers are needed. As anyone who has any experience with the internet will know, it is a rather hostile environment, and there is a certain level of background hostile activity. For just over 15 years, hosting the services, we averaged around 4,000 hostile attacks per day. When compared to other systems, this was pretty normal rate, between 1 and 3 attacks per minute. Then just over a year ago, in the space of 2 days, this rose to an average of 80,000 a day, just under 1 every second. A few months ago, we had over 200,000 attacks in a single day, with half of those occurring within 1 hour. The nature of attacks has also been changing over the time and becoming more focused and aggressive. But then this shouldn't be surprising. It is the very reason we need to put on the armour of God. Just put in your notes Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So in conclusion, we are still very much commanded to give a physical offering in the appointed seasons. But through the wonderful blessing of the Holy Spirit, we also have the ability to offer our prayers daily. So while the offering is taken up, we will have some offering music, which is Psalm 133, that brethren dwell together in unity, sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson.